Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Jesus is alive and well. Oh, Jesus is alive and well. Right now he's sitting on the throne and he can see what's going on. Jesus is alive and well. Right now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's pleading for you, you and me. So won't you tell him for me so everybody can see. Jesus is alive and well. Hello, Finding My Way audience. I am excited about today's show. I'm looking forward to the opportunity to share with you a few business fundamentals. To the Padgett family, I'd like to say hello to our host, Miss Kayla Padgett, to Mama Padgett, and to Miss Kaya, and to Papa Padgett. Like to say hello to all of the Padgett family and to the listening audience. It is indeed a great pleasure to be with you all today, and just hoping and praying that the Lord will use me in a way that will be a blessing to some people in this audience that will be able to not only keep it for themselves but share with someone else some of the different intricate things about starting and running a business. Ewing Moving Service was started in 1980 with a pickup truck and a whole lot of faith. And today has been in business now for over 35 years with nothing but an idea and some faith and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to kind of share my story and some of the things that I've experienced that I've found to be proven success tools in helping you to be able to start and run your own business. One thing about business, it is unique, and it can work in any genre, wherever. Business is critical. One of the best and largest business entrepreneurs and business people there ever was Christ the Lord. Our God, he was a businessman, and he often shared that he must be about his Father's business because he knew his Father had big business going on, and he played an intricate part in his Father's business in order to be able to bring us into the business. So we want to thank God for the guidance of his Holy Spirit today as we try to share with you some things about business. I'm excited today when Kayla asked me about sharing this information. I told her that I would be glad to, and I'm one that very seldom write things down. I move in a lot of fast circles, and I don't get a chance to write a lot down, and the Lord has blessed me, put a decent mind where I can charge a lot to memory, because I was taught in that manner, that if you charge a lot to memory, then you still don't use half of your brain even at that extent. But memory is good. I know a lot of us are spoiled now with our cell phones and computers that do a lot of the things that we would normally remember. But in business, there's a few things that cell phones and computers can't do for you, and that's make relationships. Relationships are critical in business. And it's just good sometime when you meet someone, you know their name, you know a little bit about them, you know a little bit about their family, you remember a significant event that happened in their life. You'll be surprised at how people say, oh, man, you remember? Oh, baby, you remember that? I can't believe you remember. I can't believe you even thought of me like that. I didn't even think you even thought enough of me to remember anything about me. It is very impressive in business. Relationships are critical. A lot of times these old cliches that you hear are very valid cliches. One like, it's not always what you know, it's sometimes who you know. So those cliches are vital, and that is so true, especially in different climates and culture. You got to know the culture that you're in and the climate that you're in. Memphis, Tennessee is where I'm headquartered, but I've had an opportunity to be global in our outreach. But in Memphis, everything is based on relationships, and it can be very instrumental in your business growth or instrumental in your business death. So I want to share, I've already started sharing with you, because those are things that really help you to be able to grow your business. Some people say, well, I'm an introvert. Well, you can be an introvert, but in biz, if you're going to be an introvert, you probably need to have someone hire to your weakness. And if your weakness is being an introvert, then you need somebody that's an extrovert that can go out and represent your business, because you're going to need that. You can't be always everything to the business. So if you can't be everything, then you always hire to your weakness. If you're not a good accountant, then you need to hire a good accountant. If you're not good at handling legal matters, then you need to hire an attorney. And that's one of the things that I have in here that I want, one of the little notes that I wanted to kind of touch bases on, and that's hiring to your strength, to your weakness. But in business, even if you are strong in accounting and strong in legal aspects of the business, you still need to have representation. Those are two things that are critical to the longevity of a business: a good accountant and a good attorney. Because there are a couple of things that can cause you to be out of business real quick, and one of them is taxes. Taxes are critical. Pay your taxes. They had one of the most notorious gangsters there ever was, Frank Nitti, and the only somebody that could take him down was the Internal Revenue. Nobody else could do anything with him, the FBI, nobody else. But when it came down to the taxes, he went down. So taxes are critical, and you need a good accountant to keep you on track with paying your taxes. Because that can shut your doors for life. Business, starting a business. Most people that want to start a business have a bright idea, a good idea. But ideas, anybody and almost everybody has some type of ideal that they would like to express in starting a business. They can see themselves in business. They can see themselves doing this. They're a good cook, so they can see themselves in business. They're a good basketball player, so they could see themselves in business. But a good idea needs to also have some research. You must do your homework. School popping up again. You must do your homework. In starting a business, you must do your research and development. Research is critical because you need to know your competitors. You need to know your demographics. You need to know your competition. You need to know who else is doing this. You need to know if it's profitable, how much you need to do in order to be able to make money, how much you need to do to be able to break even. You need to do your research. You got to do your homework. If you don't do your homework, you're going to fall in the category of most businesses fail the first year of their business. Businesses that survive 5 years, 3 to 5 years, will just about be successful. But the average business fails within the first year or 1 to 3 years they're out of business, the average. And hundreds of businesses are started each year, but they don't make it through that first year. Now, my father-in-law, Reverend O.C. Collins, had a slogan. He used to always say, the easiest thing that is to be is a failure. It's easy. Anybody can do it. All you have to do is don't do anything. In other words, what he was saying was, if you don't plan to succeed without any effort, you plan to fail. So it's critical to have a business plan. Put your plan together, and the research is the first part of your plan. You have the idea, then you do the research, then you put a plan together. Research, idea, research, plan. And the plan should consist of structure. The plan should also have a great degree of passion. If you don't have passion for your idea, then your idea won't have any life. You got to have passion for your idea. Then you take your idea and your research and your business plan, and you move forward. In your plan, you got to have what you're willing to invest yourself. A lot of times people go to start a business, they go to talking about what all they can borrow and how much somebody else will put into their business. But you got to put yourself in your business first. Number one, put yourself in your business. Number two, when you put yourself in, that means you're all in. That means that you're willing to put your money in as well. Not only your thought, your idea, your plan, but your money. Put your money in. When I started my business, I only had a pickup truck. And I took that pickup truck and I worked that pickup truck. I had a full-time job. My job was at the Commercial Appeal. I started out there in housekeeping, and I worked 6 years in housekeeping. Those 6 years in housekeeping, I had my pickup truck. I delivered papers for the Memphis Press Sentinel, which was our local newspaper, and then I was promoted to an engraver, and I stayed in the engraving department for 9 years. Well, I lived out of my payroll check, and I took every dime that I made with my pickup truck and reinvested it in my business. I didn't do any loans. I took the money I would make from moving someone, put it in a saving account. And at that time, I was saving at the credit union. And I was also saving at the credit union directly from my check. I was putting some money to the side from my check for me to have for my livelihood in the case of an emergency. And I was also taking every dime that I made from the daily operations of my business and putting it back into the business. Meaning that if the business needed a dollar, I would go and buy a dollar for the business. If the business needed pads, I would go and buy pads for if the business needed boxes, if the business needed a storage facility, whatever your business needs, you must reinvest back into your business. A lot of times in business, people will give you all of the support that you need, or you'll be able to get support when people see that you are passionate about your business to the extent that you're willing to invest in your business yourself. A lot of times we want to go and ask people to invest in our business, and they don't even see us making the investment. They don't see us making the time. They don't see us making the sacrifice. You got to make the sacrifice first. And one thing about it, you don't have to tell people to look at me and watch me and you watch and see what I'm doing. You'll see. People will naturally do that. That's just like a person professing hope in Christ and saying, I've been changed. I'm a saved person now. Just watch me and see. You ain't got to tell people to watch you. When the change has taken place, people will know. They're already watching. And it's the same with business. I used a lot of my Christian values in order to run my business. I didn't know anything about running a business. I never worked for a moving company before in my life. But what I did, I took the Word of God and I said, I'm going to use these same principles to run my business. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's what I did with my business. That's how I took my golden rules from the scriptures and ran my business. And to this day, I still do that. I tell my employees, I don't have a boss. My boss is the Spirit of God that guides and directs me and tell me that I got to treat you all fairly, treat you right. And that's my guiding principle to how I run my business. Seeing you involved in your business takes on a whole different perspective. People look at you different. These are true signs of an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur don't do it because he likes doing it. He do it because it's natural for them. And people should see the naturality in you and the way that you run your business. Now, loans. Loans are good. They're good if you can find somebody that believes in you enough to loan you some money. That's good. But don't bank on it. Loans are good. Small Business Association, SBA, they only want your firstborn in order to give you a loan. Then they want your grandmother to co-sign for you, and then they want her grandmother to co-sign for her. That's some of the difficulties that you find. Just may be a little extreme. But SBA loans are not the easiest loans to acquire. And they ask for a lot of security in their loan process. So SBA is an avenue, but it's a difficult one. And they generally don't loan a lot of money to startups. So want to try to dispel some of the myths. Banks, the banking industry has changed so much in the past 3 years to it is phenomenal how much it has changed. The regulators now have banks on edge about making solid loans. You almost got to not need a loan to be able to get a loan in this climate now. The climate has changed so much. But if you can get an investor, that's good. There are a lot of different alternative ways of financing your business. There are angel investors. There are different types of avenues that you can go, lots of them. So do your research. And on financial institutions in making loans and investments for your business. The best investment for your business is to start small, grow, and continue to reinvest in your business. One of the things about business also is a lot of entrepreneurs try to live out of their business. Well, the first year, your business needs you more than you need your business. Your business needs you. It needs you to invest in it. It needs you to have a primary livelihood, because your secondary livelihood will be your business, but your primary livelihood is what covers your overhead, covers your bills, keeps food, a roof over your head, and then take and invest back into your business. For about the first year, sometimes people want to have a good year with their business and go out and buy them a real nice automobile or something. I'd say kind of put that on hold if you can for the first year or two. Make some sacrifices for your business, and I guarantee you it'll pay off in the long run. A lot of times people want to go on cruises because they had a good year. I suggest if you had a good year and you want to have another good year, stay focused on your business. Focus is critical. I talked a little bit earlier about structure. Structure is important. How you organize your business is critical. There are three or four types of business that you can have. You can have a sole proprietorship. You can have a partnership. You can have a limited liability corporation. Or you can have a C-corp. Those are the different types of business structures that you can have. The most popular one is the sole proprietorship. There are businesses now that are multi-million dollar businesses that are still sole proprietorships. They're owner operated. Then you have your limited liability is the probably the second most popular business is the LLC. And then there's the regular partnership business. And then there's the C-Corp. Those are different structures, but your research will tell you pretty much the business structure that you should have for your business. And as the longer you stay in business, that can change. If you stay in business a little while and you want to bring a partner in order to grow the business, the limited liability corporation would be excellent conversion. Now, you can convert up and you can convert back down. It's a little bit harder to come back down than it is to go up. So just keep that in mind. You want to make sure that you consult with a good CPA before you make a change or before you even establish your structure. As you deciding with your business how you want to structure it, if you have partners, then you automatically want to do the limited liability corporation. If you're doing it as a sole proprietor, you want to stay sole proprietor. There are a lot of benefits to the sole proprietorship. Like I said, there are multi-million dollar corporations to this day that are still sole proprietorships. And I had to learn that as I went on through business. Didn't have a lot of structure to mine because I was a bootstrap business. I mean, I just pulled my business in and up by my bootstraps. So I had a lot of learning curves. I was speaking with Kayla and her mother about business structure and sharing information with people about business. It's very few times you'll have people that really will share this type of information with you. about your business. Now, there are a lot of books out, which I'll be have one forthcoming as well, that can give you some information about how to start your business, how to run a business. Steve Harvey has a very good common sense book on how to start and run a business. A lot of good common sense. And that's critical to a business, having utilizing a lot of common sense. And I was talking about cliches earlier. A lot of the old cliches that you've heard in years past are true today, and they work in business. So that's what a lot of the things Steve is saying, Steve Harvey is saying in his book. Also, establishing your business plan. As you establish your business plan, do a 1 to 3 year plan. You want to do 1 year where you want to see your business in 1 year. And then you move out to where you want to see your business in 2 years and where you want to see your business in 3 years. A business plan is just what it says, where I plan to be and how I would see myself getting there. You may make it the first year, you may not, but then you got more to strive for the second year if you don't. And if you overshoot yourself on the first year, good. Then maybe you'll be closer to what you had projected for the second year. You can always modify a business plan. If you're going to go and ask for a loan from a bank or something, they're going to ask you, let me see your business plan. So it's not unusual for a business that's successful to set a plan for 3 to 5 years and have to go in and modify it because of the success of the plan. That's a good thing. Or if the plan needs adjusting or modifying as you go forward, that's fine. Make the adjustments and continue to lunge forward. But it's better to have a plan that you're adjusting up to or down from than to not have a plan at all. Business plan is critical. I want to talk a little bit now about family-owned business, because Ewing Moving Service is a family-owned business. When I started Ewing Moving Service, I didn't understand the true value of having family members in the business, because I had heard so many negative things about family members being in your business, how family members can be detrimental to your business, how family members could hurt your business. Well, if your business structure is laid out, there is, in a family-owned business, the person that is in charge, the head of the business, in your sole proprietorship corporation, there has to be a 51% interest in the business. So that means the person with the 51% is the controlling factor of the business. In a corporation, in a sole proprietorship, there must be a majority owner. There must be someone with the controlling interest in the business. That means all of the responsibility falls and the decision-making falls on that person that is 51%. The 49% can vote all they want to do something, but the 51 has to say so, the last word in the business. And you can't do a 50-50 corporation. A 50-50 corporation on a sole proprietorship. If you want to bring someone in, you got to have someone with a controlling interest in order to make the decision. Therefore, that responsibility falls on them, and if someone is to be hired or fired, then that 51% controlling interest has to make that final decision. You might agree up to 49-49, but at that 51%, somebody has to make the decision. If the business, if the person, the family member, is hurting the business, then it is the responsibility of the person with the 51% controlling interest to satisfy that situation, to cure the situation, to alleviate the problem so that the business can survive. That meaning even if you, if daddy is 51% and mama is 49% and mama causing problems where the business is not going to make it, then the mama got to be dealt with. Buy her out. Do whatever you need to do to get her off the payroll. Whoever it is, brother, sister, cousin, you cannot let a family member cause the whole family to suffer in business because you won't do what you're responsible and required to do as the controlling interest. My philosophy is if you're not willing to fire, you ought to not be the one doing the hiring. If you're doing the hiring, then you need to be man enough or woman enough to do the firing. Because in business, sometimes firing is required. And it even in a family-owned business, the family must understand, and there need to be clear understanding, that we all eat from this, and anybody that causes the skillet not to be producing for the rest of us got to be cut off because we can't allow the skillet to be turned over and everything spoils because somebody allows them to stay longer than they should. So in a family-owned business, a family-owned business is critical. You need somebody to watch your back in business. And if you can't trust your family, then you need to get someone that you can because you got to have it. There's no way you can be everywhere and do everything in your business for your business by yourself. You need somebody you can trust, and you need somebody that is trustworthy. If it's a family member, that's fine. It works even better with a family member. My brother has been, and he's an older brother. My older brother has been with me in my business for almost the entire 35 years. And my brother, even though he's older, he respects my position. And whoever it is that if you're in charge and it's a family member and they don't respect your position and your authority, then you need to utilize your authority and get rid of them, because they must respect your authority, because that's what your position is. So family-owned businesses can work, and they do work, and they work real good when the family starts early into the business. Don't bring them in and make them a manager, and they haven't gone through the basics of the business. They need to understand a business from the bottom up, not from the top down. A lot of times we want to bring family members in and put them over people that have labored and been with you from inception, and then the family member come in and be abusive and cause all kind of problems in the business. Family-owned businesses are unique. The family-owned businesses need to have structure to them as well. I was at a conference last year in San Antonio, and my presentation was on family-owned business. And one of the things was that really got everyone's attention. I told them, I said, my mom, who now is deceased, I would send my mom a check every month to stay at home. They said, what you mean? I said, because I did not need her in my business. I paid her to stay at home. I sent her a check every month and told her, Mom, thank you. Here's your check. Don't need you today, though. Stay at home. But that's how I was able to get along with my mom and keep her from running my business. So family-owned businesses are very unique, though. I have brothers, I have sisters, I have nephews, uncle that retired from my business. I have nieces. I have all family members, but they are clear, and they understand who's in charge, and that's what you got to have in a family-owned business. Now, you can bring things to the table of discussion, but at the end of the discussion, someone has to make the final decision, and you got to trust that person. If you don't trust them, then they may not need to be in charge, because you got to trust who you put in charge, and the person in charge need to have someone that they lean to. That's reading it pays to have a relationship with God, because he will guide you. He will lead you and guide you in your business. And there's no decisions in your business that you can't consult Christ about. If it is, then that is the wrong type of business. If you can't consult Christ about your business, then you in the wrong business. In the wrong business, you don't need Christ, because it's going to do what it do anyway. And that's going to lead to a road of destruction. But you ought to be able to consult Christ about your decisions, especially in a family-owned business. You're going to need some prayer time. You're going to need to be able to consult God for guidance. And he will. That's when I started out singing, Jesus is alive and well, because he is not dead. We don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a risen Savior, and he's alive and well. And he has the ability to deal with whatever situation we think we're going through. I was praying the other night, and as I was praying, I said, Lord, you are in business. And you, when your taxes were due, when the Sadducees and Pharisees came to your disciples about whether or not you paid taxes, you told Peter, go, Peter, the great fisherman, and go fishing. And the first fish you find should be enough money in his mouth to pay our taxes. Jesus was responsive to the laws and the regulations. He paid his taxes. So that means he was a good businessman. He paid his taxes. And you can consult him about anything. As I was praying, I said, Lord, I know I got to pay my taxes. I need some help. Guide me, direct me. He said, pay your taxes. And so you got to pay your taxes. And you can consult God about anything. Business partners. I'm going to talk a little bit about partners. That's enough for family right now, because you know that if you have a family-owned business, it can be successful. Everybody got to play their part, and you got to let those that are in authority be in authority. On partners, in this day and age, there is a culture shift. They call it a paradigm shift. The paradigm shift is partner or die. And what I mean by that, for those that are starting businesses or those that are in business, you got to be able to capitalize on all of your resources. And your resources could be that someone else may be able to provide something for the same customer that you're seeking. And y'all are both seeking the same customer, but you need to go in it from a joint venture perspective. Partner or die. That's the business where people want now one-stop shopping. They are what they call contract bundling. As people bundle contracts now, we have 4 and 5 computer companies all bidding on one job. When 4 or 5 computer companies, could probably 3 or 4 of them get together and bid on the job and make more money. Everybody get a little piece. It's in this day and age now, people wanting to deal with one company for the same items or for multi items. They are limiting their vendors. Vendors are not as companies don't have as many vendors as they used to. One company would have 50 or 60 vendors. Now they probably cut that in half or less. They have 1/4 of the vendors, and they said, Ewing, I know you do moving, but do you do space planning? I said, well, no, I don't do nothing but move. Well, Ewing, do you do real estate? No, I don't do real estate. Well, Ewing, do you do, well, if you don't do travel arrangements, then we're going to get this one company that does all of it. They do travel arrangements. They do space planning. They do executive relocation. They do it all. So you'll find yourself partnering with companies whether you want to or not. If you don't partner, you'll be out of the running. That's reason it's critical that you understand partnerships and relationships. In partnerships and relationships, they can work. Everybody got to know what they want to achieve out of the partnership, out of the relationship. Then you put that down in writing, and it will keep you fresh and marketable. It's too many things out here that people are doing the same thing that could probably be more effective if they were to come together. And I know that's tough and that's challenging, or used to be tough and challenging. Now it's by force and not by choice. I work for 3 relocation companies currently. They are single source companies. They are companies where they provide one-stop shopping service to major corporations. Moving is just one portion of it. So there may be some opportunities there in partnerships. So don't discount partnerships. I know that as entrepreneurs, we see our business as our baby, and we're very protective of that baby. But you can't be too protective where you don't allow yourself to open up and see the new paradigm shifts and the culture changes that are around you. Partnering is critical. I say partner or die. I became an agent. I was independent for years, but I became an agent for Stevens Worldwide Van Lines because I wanted to go global. And I had to design it where I was able to keep my independence. So you have to be careful in your partnering. Just when I said the structuring of your partnership is critical, how you do it. But that's when you got an attorney on staff and you have an accountant on staff. Meaning on staff, they don't have to be in your office, but they can be on your payroll. Meaning that if you need them, you have access to them. And when you have access, you got to utilize the access to your resources. So partnering is critical in this day and time. Don't discount it and overlook that opportunity to partner. Could talk a little bit more about that partnering, but I think I've hit the main points of it in partnering. And there may be some questions. If you have some questions about some of the things that I'm saying, you can go to my Facebook or you can go to my website and send any questions that you may have. I'd be glad to try to answer them for you. Business climate for entrepreneurship. The business climate for entrepreneurship is good now. It is very good. Small business is what keeps America going. I know you think it's the large corporations that they do it, but small business, most people work for small businesses. There's not a whole lot of people that work for large corporations, even though it may look like that. FedEx in Memphis alone has over 20,000 employees. But if you take the small businesses and put them together, You can take all of your major employers here, and your small businesses all put together will outnumber the number of employees that are here in our city, just to be limited from that perspective. But, yes, small businesses keep America running. So the climate is good for small business. The climate is a little rough for banking, but that's where your other strengths can lie, on your partnering, coming together to get you good, clean financials and good, strong financials. And in talking about financials, in business, pay your bills and pay them on time as much as you possibly can. Because a good name is better than choice rubies. That scripture, cliche, whatever, it works. A good name is better than choice rubies. You got to be able to have your name to go out before you. And if you do that, you'll be able to get things when you need them. You'll be able to build relationships. You'll be able to, even in partnerships, you may be the stronger partner because you have kept a good rapport with your business. You have paid your bills on time. You have kept a good D&B rating. And your D&B rating is going to be there even if you don't report your financials. D&B is your Dun & Bradstreet. Dun & Bradstreet, corporations, businesses report to Dun & Bradstreet operations, daily operations. And if you're being reported, people will go and pull your Dun & Bradstreet statistics, and they can determine by your D&B whether or not they want to do business with you. Sometimes you can have all of the right things put together, and corporations can disqualify you based on your D&B, your Dun & Bradstreet rating. So keep a good D&B rating, and it also helps to foster a good entrepreneurial climate for you. There are three stages of business, and this is going to be probably in my closing statement because the time is winding up. Three stages of business: grow or sell. Grow, die, or sell. You can't stay status quo. You can't just be in business and stay just, I'm going to stay here, I'm just going to do nothing but sell 5 widgets a day. Every day I'm going to sell 5 widgets. I don't want to sell 10 widgets. I don't want to sell 15 widgets. I just want to sell 5 widgets. Well, if you keep selling those 5 widgets, you are not going to grow. And if you don't grow, your competition going to wipe you out. If you're selling 5 widgets and you're getting $100 for those 5 widgets, well, if someone across the street is taking 10 widgets and they selling 10 widgets for $80 or 5 widgets for $100, which one would you rather buy? You would rather buy the 10 widgets for $80 versus the 5 widgets for $100. You sitting there selling them same 5 widgets, and here you got somebody over here selling 10 widgets, and because of the growth that they've chosen to buy in bulk, they're outselling you. They're outpricing you. You cannot stay the same in business. You must grow, die, or sell. What you mean, die? If you can't grow your business will die. It won't stay the same and just keep doing what it's doing. You got to constantly be investing into your business to grow your business. You can't do today. As an old player said one time, a friend of mine told me that he saw this old guy who they said he had lost his mind. And he walked up to him and he asked him, he said, man, he said, how's everything going? He said, man, everything's going well. He said, man, I saw somebody the other day, man, they told me you wasn't in good shape, man. You look like you in pretty good shape. He said, man, he said, let me tell you something. He said, I am doing fine. He said, but I realized a long time ago you can't use yesterday's scores in today's ball game. They won't work. Every day you got new you play a new game, you got to have new scores. You can't use yesterday's scores in today's ball game. You must grow or die. If you come back, if the Grizzlies won yesterday by 1 point, well, today somebody going to be shooting higher. They're going to have to win. That 1 point yesterday won't help them today. You can't use yesterday's scores in today's ball game. Sell. You grow a business so that you can sell it. If you got family members that want to be part of your succession plan, or you have a succession plan in place that will allow somebody to take the business on and go with it, that's fine. But you still got to be growing it as so that they have something to take and sell. Or if you grow a business to a point where if somebody else wants to find your business attractive and you started out $1 million business, and now you've grown it to a $5 million business, and somebody's willing to give you $7 million for the business or $6 million for the business, then you sell. And you sell with a profit. Now, there's a lot of reasons why people would be interested in buying your business. Sometimes people buy their competition so that they don't even have to compete with them. They are trying to grow their business. Sometimes in order to grow a business, you got to buy a business in order to grow your business. So there are many different ways to grow a business. There are many different ways to sell a business. So you always want to buy low, sell high. Buy low, sell high. Sometimes selling a business is not a bad thing. Sometimes you can sell a business and start another business. Entrepreneurs are not, by my knowledge, made. Entrepreneurs are born. It's in you. It's born in you. Now, there's been some people that have been around entrepreneurs and have adapted their culture, have adapted their style, and that's good. But there's a couple of things that about entrepreneurs that born entrepreneurs that gives them that fire shut up in their bones that won't allow them to do anything but be an entrepreneur. There's things about an entrepreneur that will allow him to endure when it looked like nobody else can. That's because that burning within won't allow him to give up or her to give up. Entrepreneurs will find a way to make a way. And we do that because we know who is the way. Christ is the way. There's no other way around it. If you are a born-again person and you're starting a business, and you want to feel like your business is to the point where you can leave Christ out, you're ready, you're destined for failure. The strongest thing about your business is your faith. True entrepreneurs have faith. They have faith in what they're doing. They have faith in the God that they serve. And they have faith that he will deliver them from whatever they get into that may look like it's a dim side. The Lord has been very good to my business. He has kept me. He has taught me to never give up, not on people, but most of all, not on him. You can't have business without people. God will send the people if you keep trusting and serving him. Do right by God, and I guarantee you, this is what my mom told me in closing. She said, son, she said, put your business in God's hand and quit worrying about your business only if you ain't taking care of his business. You take care of his business, and I guarantee you, son, he'll take care of yours. And we have a threefold business in God's business. That is to bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse, give him some of our time, and give him our talent. Use those three to uplift the name of Jesus, and I guarantee you, he'll take care of your business. Thank you all so much. I hope that I've been able to share with you all today some intricate things and some basic fundamentals about starting a business. These are the things that I've used and found them to be successful. God bless you. God keep you. And I look forward to our next time that we spend together on basic fundamentals of business. God bless you.
When it seems that you're doing progress,
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.